Welcome to the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society. Welcome to ITSP Magazine. You're listening to a new Hackers and HackZen podcast. You're about to join Erica, Jax, and John for an inclusive cybersecurity conversation designed to educate and break the stereotypes of cybersecurity professionals while providing life hacks on how to handle burnout, networking, and goal setting. Knowledge is power, now more than ever.
Hi, welcome back, fam. Today we have a special guest, and she is one of my dear friends, Miss Grace Jung, who has specialized her career in identity and access management. She received her education at the University of Georgia, go Dogs, where she studied business administration. Today, she's a certified identity and access manager. Grace, I'm super excited for our listeners to learn more about your path and how you got to where you are today. Grace, how are you today?
Hi, Erica. Thank you for having me. Super excited to be here and ask away.
Awesome. So I'd love to kick off this episode with learning a little bit more about your background and what got you interested in the cyberspace to start off with.
All right. So I'm just going to be very frank with my college, how I was during my college years. I honestly didn't even know what I wanted to do, hence why I chose to study management. I was like, okay, this is a good degree to at least kind of be, you know, it's a general area where I can really apply that to anything I do. And then I'm going to graduate first and figure out what I want to do. So I graduated with the BBA in management, and I, my first job was through a management trainee program at my first employer. And that program was really beneficial to me personally because I didn't know what I was good at, what I wanted to do. And I got to have an opportunity to do different rotations in departments that I was interested in. It was a large organization that I joined. So, you know, it was really up to me to pick what am I interested in, what do I want to try, even if it's something I've never heard of. So I picked a few departments that I wanted to be, get exposed to. And one of the organizations was a fairly new organization that was really being stood up, focusing on just identity in general. So, you know, it had the focus on identity and access management, the security portion of it, as well as more of a product development side. How can we develop a new service, new digital identity service to generate revenue, offer more services that didn't exist before. And that is the team that I got to do my rotation in. So, of course, I was able to apply some of the learnings from college, but, you know, get exposed to the identity space in general. So I really enjoyed that. So after I finished my rotation, after I graduated from the program, the manager at that time reached out to me, hey, we have a position open. I know you really like this work. Do you want to come back and be on our team permanently? And I just jumped on it. So that's how I started my journey in IAM. And when I joined that team permanently, that's where I got assigned to the IAM security team, focusing on access management, enterprise access management. So, you know, I didn't know what I wanted to do in school. And really, I got that maybe 3 to 4 months exposure to identity, but that was more on the product development side. So I didn't have any security background, right? So because this was such like a fast paced, you know, environment, a lot of the work streams, like we're trying to set up and really just get it going, I didn't have time to really kind of get up to speed at my own leisure. So I just had to jump in and just kind of take over. So, you know, like one thing I remember is that when I first joined, one of the first few meetings, people are talking about like cookie assertion. And I'm like, okay, the only cookie I know is I know how to eat one. Like, what do you mean cookie cyber? So in addition to kind of trying to learn about the particular initiative that I'd be responsible for, but also kind of getting up, you know, up to speed about cybersecurity in general, right? So I would say the very, at least the first year and a half, it was a huge learning curve. And again, like, you know, looking back, even if it's right, like I've been employed for about like 5 years. That was like the most, you know, rewarding moments of my life is because, right, it was not only was it pivotal for my career to step into identity and access management, but really that like learning cyber in general. And cyber is so broad, big, like IAM is such a, you know, like one component of it that like just seeing how that fits in with all the other areas of cyber, I was just kind of fascinated. And, you know, here I am. I love identity. I can't wait to grow more into, you know, within this space. So that's how I kind of got into it. And then, you know, now when you say like, hey, what is your favorite, you know, thing, you know, in terms of like your career? I mean, I don't get to do this anymore because I'm now a consultant, but, you know, geeking out in front of a whiteboard with my techie guys, you know, with the architects and about how things are going to plug in, how this is going to talk to the other system. That was just like one of my favorite moments. So, yeah.
Oh my gosh, Grace. Wow. That is an amazing story. During your 1.5 year, you were saying in a year and a half, you really had this learning curve. So during that time, that 1.5 years, was there ever a time where you're like, I made a terrible decision and this is a lot harder than I thought it was going to be? Am I sure that I want to stay on this course?
I don't think I ever, you know, questioned my decision to, you know, be like a part of the identity team. But, and I got to, and, you know, this is a good thing, at least for me, from my view, I got to take on additional responsibility. So although I started managing, you know, access portion of it, I was able to move on to privilege access. And that's where I even fell more in love with identity. I'm like, okay, privilege access is more hardcore. Love this, you know? So especially with that, because it was getting more technical. And of course, there were moments like, oh my gosh, like, okay, like this is more exciting, but also more difficult. Mm-hmm. Okay, am I going to be able to handle this like I did with another project? But you know what? At the end of the day, I was surrounded by such talented individuals. And, you know, I always, you know, anytime, you know, people ask me about how did you grow so much within that short period of time, 100% kudos to my team, the architects that I work with, you know, the PMs, the BAs. I mean, honestly, there wasn't anything that I couldn't do. So without
that.
Help. So.
Oh my God, I love that. So you were talking about, you know, the whiteboards. I love whiteboarding and brainstorming. But now today you're a consultant. And so what does that look like? What does your day-to-day look like in identity and access management? Is it different? Do you know day-to-day what your calendar is going to look like, or has that changed?
So I would say it certainly has changed quite a lot. So you probably heard this from your consultant friends. You know, my life revolves around creating decks. So PowerPoint. But I actually personally enjoy working on it because not only does it, you know, pull out my creative side to, hey, this is how we can tell a story. And just even visualization perspective, you know, I enjoy that. And now, you know, a lot of, and so from my previous job, I was more in the management / I got to have a lot of leadership opportunities, but now I'm back to being a doer. So, you know, kind of, it's been a transition for me to having to polish some of those skills. But again, it's good to always do that, right? Sometimes when you step away from doing things yourself, you realize, okay, I forgot how to do this, but kind of get back on it. And, you know, it's always useful to have those skills as well, no matter how much, how far you move up. So yeah, that's my day to day, you know, kind of facilitating meetings with the clients. But at the end of the day, it didn't change my end goal, right? Really, that objective of really kind of conveying that, right, that security is not an impediment to any organization. It is an enabler. And on top of that, right, identity is a new security perimeter. So, yeah,
Grace. Wow. First of all, wow. Like you have a pretty interesting background in the way of how you've gotten to here today. It seems like there was a lot of moving parts, a lot of dynamics that you kind of had to just kind of roll with it, and see where it goes. It's very exploratory and very much like this adventure mindset, which sounds like it's serving you really, really well in information security. But with that being said, you know, you've mentioned about while you're in school, you know, you might not have known what you wanted to do or exactly what you wanted to do, didn't have, you know, the sense of direction that we sometimes think that students have, which I feel like based on all of our experiences with us all being students at some point or currently, we don't know what we want to do when we grow up, when we're in school sometimes. And but with that being said, and going through your academic journey, through your professional journey, could you shed light on a few different challenges that you've faced during your, you know, not just one transition, but the various transitions that you've done from being in academia as a student to going into the workforce? And then also, you know, you kind of hinted at how where you were in management, but now you're kind of being a doer again. Can you highlight some of the challenges and just, you know, kind of how you solve those challenges?
So I think one big thing, when I was in my previous role, having to do a lot of management of these programs, especially, you know, having to lead some of the conversations with the stakeholders, especially if it's with, you know, partners with more technical background than me, a lot of times I wouldn't really have an answer to their question, right? It could be because, right, I don't have the technical background as them. So, you know, if they're talking about how IAM is going to, you know, impact network security to a certain degree, right, I wouldn't be able to answer some of those questions. And in a situation like that, I think also kind of going back to really relying on your team, right? It's okay if, like, you could be, a lead on a program or a project. You're not going to have all the answers, and it's okay not to have those answers, but actually, like, empowering your team to be able to take on that part and speak up and, you know, be able to let them, you know, speak on your behalf. I think it's also different per organizations, right? Where there might be more bureaucracy, whether it's, you know, politics, the way teams are structured. But for me, I didn't care, you know, whether they were my, consultant supporting me or direct team member under me. If you know it, you speak up, you own that part, and that's how we make progress. It wasn't about, you know, the pride of ownership. I have to know everything. I have to be the one speaking to everything because I want to be the smartest person. So that's kind of the challenges that at least how I overcame some of the challenges, at least with stakeholder management. And just from, going back to the transition from school into, you know, my professional career, again, a huge learning curve, right? I remember, you know, at first when I was drafting my first email, I'm like, oh my God, is this professional enough? Or am I using too many exclamation marks? Or, you know, just all kinds of overthinking. I'm sure we all do. I mean, I still do it to this day. So even those things, you know, I think it's just like you have to learn as you go, but definitely being flexible about, you know, the feedback that you may be receiving, incorporating that, when you receive it, right? I mean, one thing I feel like a lot of the challenge is that, you know, sometimes when you're faced with problems, people may give you feedback, but not everyone takes the feedback. You may ask for it, but that doesn't mean you're going to take it. So, and again, right, it's up to you. It has to be an appropriate feedback for you to incorporate. But for me, that's what's helped me so far, whether it's, you know, a particular issue about me not having the technical background about something, or whether it was a people issue, a management issue. It's always kind of, you know, reaching out to some of the people that circle of trust that you can learn from, you can grow with. So,
absolutely. And I love that you said, you know, you kind of have to be flexible in this world. Right. And I kind of I had mentioned how, you know, you being flexible with a dynamic workforce has helped you out. Right. Because the workforce can be kind of fluid in information security. So you have to kind of be fluid with it. You have to row with the river, not, you know, against it. And it sounds like, you know, that's provided you a lot of success. You know, with that being said, with it providing you a lot of success and a lot of direction and purpose in your own career and in your life. With that being said, do you have any advice for, you know, people that may be in a similar situation such as yourself, based on, you know, the history that you've told us, or even more specifically, you know, do you have any advice for, you know, women that are looking to make a same transition as you?
Just going back to your point about, you know, cyber, like the dynamic, it's just a lot of pieces are moving. Things are changing every day, right? So I would say just kind of if for somebody who's looking to get, first I'll cover this part. So for somebody who's looking to get into cyberspace in general, for me, what I try to do with my peers or my friends within the space is like, I got into this, you know, this industry by having somebody champion me, who saw my potential. I had no technical background, no security background, but that person championed me and trusted me and then gave me an opportunity, which ended up really getting blown into, you know, discovering my passion for technology and identity. And the way I love, you know, working with, you know, these various different types of people, getting our ideas brainstormed. So at least for me, just kind of breaking into cybersecurity, I would say always be, I think if you're working hard and if you show your potential and your work ethic, if there's somebody who can see that in you, and you know, and again, I think a lot of people in cybersecurity don't come from cyber world, right? You see a lot of people who study like political science get into cybersecurity or that different types of backgrounds. So I think just at first, you know, really having that that, you know, work ethic and that potential, right, for somebody to even recognize that. And then I say for us who are already in cybersecurity, hey, if you see that and if you, you know, see that somebody is interested and making that transition, you know, we have to be able to champion that, especially, you know, a lot of the things like within cyber, it's changing because of the resourcing issues, right? We don't have time to be like, to be kind of what I would call like, you know, arrogant about our credentials and the background, of course, right? That is the end goal we want to get to, right? We want, you know, that baseline, the threshold about, you know, we want you to know this portion of cyber so we know how everything converge, you know, things like that. But just for somebody to even get into cyber, it's so hard nowadays. And I think we, as in cybersecurity professionals, could do a better job in terms of lending a hand for someone who's even slightly interested in this space, advertising what work we do. It's not just, you know, all techies coding in front of computers. Not at all. I don't do that. So I think those are some of the things that I can offer from my own experience. And from, you know, being a woman in cyber also, I am very grateful that I've had you know, managers, just leadership support, both men and women, who just solely based, you know, my qualification on, you know, what I was able to do. It didn't matter that I was more on the younger side. I was a woman. So I think that's also something that we can do for people who's already in the space, right? Sure. We certainly want to see more people being able to get into the space regardless of, you know, your gender or what have you. But it, again, you know, you giving everyone the fair opportunity for the potential and what they bring to the table, regardless of that. I think that's something that we can do from our perspective. So,
yes. Oh my gosh. I'm loving all of this right now, Grace. This is so powerful, and not just from the female perspective, but like you were saying, the inclusion of bringing individuals in from all walks of life. My journey was really unique, leaving the federal side and coming into the private sector. And even though I had nearly at that time about 16 years of experience in the cyber slash intelligence sector, it was still going to be a challenge for me to get into the private sector because it's just two different worlds. And I will tell you that the reason I'm where I'm at today is because I had somebody that championed me, that believed in me even before anybody else did. And they opened up some doors for me. And I always say, give me an inch, I'll figure out the rest. And that was one of my first jobs when I entered the industry, was through a referral of somebody. That wasn't my forever job. I'm actually going into my third job right now, third position, because that's just how this industry works. You pivot a lot. And what I have noticed is that this industry, especially cybersecurity, runs on mentors and menteeships and helping one another and bringing others up when you get to a certain level in your career. And you've already touched on some of the challenges that you've had to deal with in the cybersecurity sector. But I'm curious, what are some things that you can relate to currently that you've dealt with that has helped you and strengthened you and has gotten you to where you're at today? Can you think of any of those like specific challenges, and can you share those with us?
Yeah. So going back to the whole stakeholder management part. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when I had to lead some of these programs, you know, in cyber in general, right, we have issues communicating with business stakeholders, as well as the stakeholders in the tech space, right, whether it's IT. And, you know, within being in the cyberspace, at first, a lot of times, like when you talk to some of these people that you need to work with, they're like, oh, no, you're coming into my space. Don't tell me what I need to be doing. That doesn't happen here. You are just, you know, talking about the generic industry blurb at me, you know, just that pushback that I just could not get through. And I think a lot of cyber professionals experience that in general. But for me, what I did was, instead of, you know, kind of ignoring that, and I think here one thing I want to point out is that, you know, when we deal with stakeholders, whether it's business partners or technical partners, I don't think we might be doing that due diligence, even educating them and talking about how it impacts everyone. You know, still a lot of people think about, right, cyber is, okay, well, CISO teams got it. When really it's everyone's responsibility. So I think just like, you know, a lot of times cyber people can be kind of having the attitude where like, oh, so it makes sense to us. We know how big of an issue this vulnerability is. Why don't you get it? And why aren't you trying to fix it with us? As opposed to, here's an issue. This is how it can impact this part and that part and this part of the organization, and how, you know, impactful it is. So I think that is something that we can also just work on as, you know, a professional in cyber. But so kind of going back to the story of, you know, when I got the pushback from the stakeholders, what I did was, instead of ignoring, I actually went into their site, went into their office, whether it was IT Operations Center. And I said, look, I'm not here to tell you what to do. All I know is that we have the knowledge within this space that at least we should strive to get to. And based on these findings, you know, this is, I need your help. Like, you are the doer in this space. So tell me what you do and what you know, the history behind it, all the context that I don't know, so we can collectively make this happen. So, you know, I remember one of my, when I actually briefed one of my senior leaders that I was actually traveling offsite to, you know, IT center to talk about this program, I remember him just being like, oh, you're going there? That's very brave of you. But I think for me, right, like I don't, you know, I didn't want to just ignore that part. And, you know, really acknowledging the fact that like, you need these people, we can't ignore them. And we can't also hope that they're going to get on board somehow magically during this phase of implementation. That's just, you know, failure by design. So just, you know, kind of being brave, whether it's a people issue or technology issue, just really getting that buy-in right is the most important piece of really any work that we're trying to do. And hey, face the challenge. If you need to get, you know, into their office, talk to them face to face, you know, don't expect them to come to our table. Go to their table and talk about what you're trying to accomplish and ask them for help. I think that part was really helpful for me, where I was able to see the benefits from that, where now I had people from those teams reaching out to me and say, hey, we're thinking about doing this. What do you think from IAM perspective? Or, hey, can you be a part of our, you know, hiring committee so we can make sure that they can have some, you know, IAM background or how, what we do. So, yeah, it's just for, you know, of course it's not an easy thing, especially when you're right. We all get so invested into our work, especially the more passionate you are, you get more emotionally invested. So sometimes it's hard to not take those things personally. But again, you know, you just gotta face it and, you know, get really the people to understand, right? At the end of the day, the goal is not to point fingers, not to step on any toes, but that same objective you have as an organization.
Wow, Grace, you have an extremely high EQ, emotional intelligence, like understanding and seeing the full picture is, it's not a skill that you typically see within this industry. A lot of people can be kind of siloed in their approach. And we also know a lot of individuals in this sector can be really, their EQ is a little bit lower. They're really, really, they're extremely intelligent, but they don't have the social understanding to do the interpersonal skills that you seem to have. And you, wow, speaking, talking about just being brave and stepping out, like I've already learned a lot from you. I'm like, you're so right though. Just get out there, put yourself out there. And what's the worst thing that can happen? And then your team approach is amazing. Throughout this entire interview, you've talked about your team approach from when you first entered the industry to even now. And it's just amazing. I know we're coming to the end. And before we close this out, I would love for the listeners to be able to reach out to you with any questions. So what is the best way for them to be able to contact you? Would it be LinkedIn or maybe an email?
Yep, LinkedIn would be the best. And, you know, I think for me, I'm also still trying to learn more about just cyber in general, since there are so many different areas. I would love to connect with other folks within the cyber realm, as well as identity, as well as, you know, students or somebody who's trying to make that transition into cyber career. You know, I'm here, so I welcome that.
Awesome. Well, Grace, it has been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for sharing your wisdom, your learnings. I think that your story is just one that is very unique. We love your drive, your enthusiasm, and we can definitely tell that your passion for cybersecurity is here, and can't wait to see all that you accomplish here in the rest of your journey.
Thank you, Erica. Thanks for having me again.
Thanks, Grace.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Hackers and HackZen podcast with Erica, Jax, and John. If you learned something new and this podcast made you think, then share itsbmagazine.com with your friends, family, and colleagues. If you represent a company and wish to associate your brand with our conversations, sponsor one or more of our podcast channels. We hope you will come back for more stories and follow us on our journey. You can always find us at the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society.